Okay, the next argued case in this series is number 21-2128, Universal Electronics Incorporated against Roku Incorporated. Mr. Nicodema.
Nice to see you again, Your Honor. So in this case, the challenged patents relate to a universal controlling device with a dual-touch touch-sensitive surface that has various features described by the challenged claims. And we contend that the board committed reversible error in finding that the HERS reference teaches what we call the second data limitations. The parties agreed to the construction of the second data limitations. And according to this construction, second data transmitted from the universal controlling device must be representative of the continuous contact from the first location to the second location on the touch-sensitive surface. That was the agreed-upon construction. Now, to satisfy the second data limitations, the second data must represent at least the starting location, which is the first location of the user's contact, and the end location, that's the second location of the user's contact, on the touch-sensitive surface, and that there was not a break or discontinuity in the contact between the two locations. Now, this was confirmed by Roku's expert, Dr. Polish, and I refer your honors to appendix pages 7625 to 7627, paragraphs 20 to 24.
Can I ask you, this is claim construction now, right? So the board has its claim construction, which are the parties agreed upon construction.
Yes.
And as I understand it, you're relying on the language representing.
Representative, right? Of.
Well, I think you're interpreting the interpretation. Am I wrong? Because the client, it doesn't really matter, but the interpretation is representing. So it doesn't really matter anyway. I don't want to dispute that with you necessarily, but I just want to make sure I understand. I think your view is that the only way data can represent the continuous contact from a first location to a second location is that it has to actually, you know, be that data. It can't be like, you know, my finger was here, then I dragged a window over here. It can't be like the end location of the window to represent the continuous contact.
It has to actually be,
I'm just trying to understand your argument.
Sure.
It has to actually be like the finger moved from point X, Y, 1, 2 to point, you know, just give all that continuous, all that data showing where the finger went.
That, if you're talking about the dragging action,
yeah.
That's a different step. Now, if we look at a different step.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. Data representing continuous contact from the first location to the second location is. And let me tell you why, because I think representing is a pretty broad word.
Well, data being representative depends on the content of the data.
Right.
And I think what Your Honor is getting at is a dragging motion. But a dragging motion is the previous claim element, and I can show you where in the claims.
I'm just trying to understand what your argument is.
My argument.
Everybody agreed what the claim construction is, that it has to be second data representing continuous contact from the first location to the second location. And there's no doubt that something is being sent, but in the primary reference, having its data that causes the second display to move in the same way that the first display moves. So I'm trying to understand what your argument is and how
Sure.
you're reading representing to be so narrow.
Okay. Well, I'm not reading it to be so narrow. I'm reading it. Now, if you look at, there's one disclosure from Hearst that the board relied on.
But what? How are you interpreting?
It's the content of the data.
I apologize. I'm not
it's the content
a good job
of the
asking
data.
My question. What exactly is your interpretation of the board's interpretation?
Okay. You have to show data indicating where the user commenced the continuous contact. You have to show data where the user terminated the continuous contact, and you have to show data giving an indication that there was continuous contact from the first location to the second location. And
where does that come from?
And that's exactly what their expert said. Here's how you can satisfy this claim.
Well, that's one way to satisfy it, but I understand that. But I mean, did the expert say the only way? And this is claim construction. So where is that? Why didn't you offer that as your claim construction?
Well, I think implicit in data representative is that it has to be data. It has to be an indication in the data. It's not just somebody's motion across a touch-sensitive surface, because that's a previous claim element. It has to actually be the data. And their expert agreed with that. Their expert, he gave pretty much every possible location.
What other evidence for that claim construction do you have besides this expert, the other side's expert? Which we can talk about that in a minute, but
sure.
I just want to know what you're relying on.
We're relying on their expert's testimony as to what that means.
And where is that?
And if you look at paragraphs 20 to 24 of Dr. Polish this time.
Do you have an appendix page?
Sure. 7625 through 7627.
Paragraph 20?
Beginning at paragraph 20 and going all the way.
Where is the part where he admits that your construction is correct?
Well, it's an agreed upon construction.
He's talking
about how our expert, Mr. Baer, says how the second data limitations can be satisfied, and then he gives his opinion beginning at paragraph 20 about how he thinks it can be satisfied. So my point here is, Your Honor, in each one of Dr. Polish's examples, he says that the second data has to include the location where the user commences the continuous contact, and he represents that by coordinates X and Y.
And what is he discussing in paragraph 20? Is he discussing the prior art, or is he
discussing the patent
suit?
He's discussing how
the patent and suit works.
Yes.
Okay.
How that second data limitations claim works. And in each and every one of his paragraphs, in each of his examples, he says that to come within the second data limitations, the location where the user commences the continuous contact, that has to be part of the data, and he represents that as X1, Y1. The location where the user terminates the continuous contact, he represents that by X2, Y2. And an indication that there was continuous contact from the first location to the second location. So based on that, the disclosure from the Hirst reference that the board relied upon could not read on the second data limitations, because this is exactly the disclosure that's being relied upon. And if we look at appendix page 51, we see it. And I'll quote, talking about Hirst, the remote control issues the corresponding repositioning signals to the television set by transmitting the new location and or size of the PIP window as entered by the user. End quote. So that's what Hertz is disclosing is data representing one static location is being transmitted. It's not sending data representing the starting location where the user commences continuous contact or data representative of continuous contact from the first to the second location. Now, if we look at Dr. Polish's paragraph 26 of his declaration, that's appendix page 7628, I think it's really significant. His last sentence, talking about Hirst, he says, thus, in response to the user's stylus movement, Opposito would have understood the remote control to transmit at least an indication to the appliance, e.g. the television, to move the PIP window, and the position to which the PIP window is to be moved, e.g. an XY coordinate. So he's not saying that there's any indication in the data of the first position by virtue of an XY coordinate. He doesn't even mention the first position, or that Hertz transmits data concerning, or that's representative of continuous contact. He's saying what happens is data concerning the endpoint, where the user's engagement with the touch-sensitive surface ends. And that's it. And Roku's counsel made the same concession during the hearing before the PTAB, and that would be appendix page 7854 and 7859. So if the data that Hertz is transmitting is only the one static endpoint location, it doesn't meet the the second data limitations. And I think what the board did here...
So the real dispute here is whether just providing, if there's continuous movement, and then what's provided is the result of the continuous movement, the continuous movement itself. I just want to make sure I understand your...
Sure, Your Honor.
Please don't interrupt me, please.
And of course...
I'm not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I think what you're saying is that if... I'm not even going to ask. At this point, I've lost track of what I was saying, but I would really prefer that you not interrupt it in the future.
I appreciate it. I'm sorry. Okay. I think what the board did is came up with a construction that was not the party's agreed upon construction to read Hertz.
What about if what the court, what they did was said that what the prior art does by sending the end result of the continuous movement is data representative of that continuous movement? Why is that unreasonable given the breadth of the claim construction?
Well, they didn't say that.
Maybe they did. I thought they did. That's how I read it.
They didn't say that. They did.
You're challenging their factual finding by reinterpreting the claim.
Well, I mean, these are the same positions that were taken before the PTAB.
I understand, and it's a factual question, right? Substantial evidence, because if you look at the claim construction, the claim construction is that there's on the remote control device, you know, there's movement taken, and then data representing that movement has to be sent, right? And your view is that the data representing the movement has to have three elements: the first starting point, the ending point, and that it was continuous. But there's nothing about that in the proposed construction, and represented by is much broader than that.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I'd have to disagree because the party's experts both took a position on what that means.
Respectfully, I'm not sure if Roku's expert did agree with that, Dr. Polish, because he, of course, is the one who said that the prior art that teaches only providing the endpoint satisfies the claim limitation. Mm-hmm. I think that the parts you're relying on in his declaration are discussing just an embodiment in the patent and not saying what the claim construction is. But you can tell me why I'm wrong. I just want to make sure you understand my concerns so you can address them here at oral argument.
I do, Your Honor. I do understand your concerns. And I think he was just doing more than talking about an embodiment. If you look at his paragraphs 20 to 24, he's talking about every situation he could think of where the second data limitations could be satisfied. And in each and every one of them, he talks about sending data representing the beginning, the starting point, every one of them. I don't believe he's just
what
talking...
What about paragraph 24? There's a fourth example.
Okay.
It says the fourth example would be providing the changing a first position to a second location.
Yeah, and he has coordinates for both positions.
I hear what you're saying, but as a technical matter, doesn't the device that's receiving the information already know what the first location is?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Doesn't the device that's receiving the information already know what the first location is? Why would you need to send it?
Because the claim talks about the second data limitation.
It talks about sending data representative of the user's movement on the remote control device.
Our position is that it's three conditions have to be satisfied.
Okay.
I will save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. McCovey.
May it please the court. I'll jump right to the section of the declaration. It's the reply declaration that counsel was relying on. And if you read paragraph 19, which is the paragraph ahead of what was quoted by counsel, it's very clear that Dr. Polish is responding there to the Dr. Baer's arguments, and he qualifies what he's saying. He says he's responding to the particular embodiment, as Judge Stoll pointed out, and he's making very clear that I don't think my analysis can be limited to this embodiment. Even under this embodiment, there would be a lot of options, and he goes through a lot of ways this could be applied because, as you pointed out, representative of is a broad term. The other thing I think UEI's counsel gets hung up on, and I really do think this is just a really classic case of substantial evidence, because what UEI has argued in its briefs is really just looking at its case with the blinders on and kind of ignoring the rest of the evidence that goes against it. But here, if you look at what the court was construing, the second data being representative of what was being construed, the original language was moving touch made across the touch-sensitive surface. Our evidence was focused at all times on showing that that second data was representative of a motion. And that's all that's required by this claim. And if you look at Dr. Polish's testimony, not citing just to the reply, which is what UEI cited you to, but if you look from the very beginning, it's very, very clear that our position is consistent, that there is motion being conveyed here. And that's all that's required. And Dr. Polish is very detailed. If you look at it in its simplest form, all we're talking about is it's a stylus, right? And the stylus goes across a tablet, and that sends a message to moving a pip window, and that sends a message to your television or other device and says, do the same thing. You can't do that. What Dr. Polish says, it's not possible to accomplish that without sending a message as to the motion that's occurring. That second data, that movement, and that second data and the conveyance of that to your television must include representation of the motion. And he goes in detail in explaining how that's disclosed in the context here. So I think it's a little bit of a moot point, because to the extent the motion has to include some of the details they're arguing, I would suggest Dr. Polish says that would be inclusive. But I don't think we have to go that far. What Dr. Polish says is a placebo would have understood that HERS's touchscreen display must use some form of data in order to make adjustments to what is displayed on the screen as well as to be reproduced on the television screen. That's at Appendix 2622 through 2623. What UEI is arguing here today is consistent with what the board rejected below, and it was the issue that was debated as to what representative of really meant. And what the board adopted was our argument that you can't read all these added limitations into there as to what the specific data would be. If you just look at the claim, there's no specifics in that claim that say the data must include point A, B, C, or D. There's nothing that says it can't go, you know, squirrely across the screen, or that you have to tell it to go that direction before it reaches the other spot on the screen. The whole point of this claim is a broadly written claim that takes you, that allows you to move something here and make it happen up on your TV. And that's all that did. HERS very clearly displays that. Would your honors like me to address Finkelstein at all? It wasn't addressed by the dependent claims and the analogous art issue.
If you do address those, then you will open the door for your adversary to address them on rebuttal. It's really up to you.
We'll just stand on our brief. Do you have any other questions with respect to HERS?
No.
Any questions?
Thank you, your honors.
Thank you, Mr. Tyson.
I'll be very brief, Your Honor. In response to Judge Stoll, in response to one of your questions, I think counsel said that the second data limitations is just representative of a motion. I think she said that. Now, if we look at appendix page 15, there's a claim element and a claim construction at the bottom of that page. And that claim term is second input type indicative of a motion made across the touch-sensitive surface. That's the dragging motion. That's not the claim element we're talking about. The claim element we're talking about is on the very next page, appendix page 16. Second data representative of the motion made across the touch-sensitive surface. And that's where we get the agreed-upon construction. Second data representative of the continuous contact from the first location to the second location on the touch-sensitive surface. So just saying that a prior art has a mouse or with your finger you can drag from point A to point B is not addressing the second data limitations. It's addressing the previous claim element, second input type, indicative of a motion made across the touch-sensitive surface. So the limitation that we're talking about here with respect to Hertz, it's the content of the data that matters. And there's nothing in Hertz that the board identified showing that data representative of the continuous contact from the first location to the second location is transmitted. When we're talking about a dragging motion or representative of a motion, to use counsel's words, we're talking about the previous claim element and not the second data limitations. And if your honors have no further questions, we will stand on our briefs.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. This case is submitted.